Welcome to the American Med Spa Podcast, Medical Spa Insider. This week, we have a special collaboration with the Aesthetically Speaking Podcast, presented by NextTech. Here's AMP Spa founder Alex Tiersch with more.
Hey everyone, this is Alex Tiersch. Last month at the Medical Spa Show, I sat down with Tyler Terry from NextTech on the Aesthetically Speaking Podcast to talk about the current state and the future of the medical spa industry. Today, we're bringing you that episode over here on our podcast. Links are in your show notes to check out the Aesthetically Speaking Podcast for more valuable med spa industry insights. Thanks so much.
You're listening to the Aesthetically Speaking Podcast, presented by NextTech.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Aesthetically Speaking Podcast. We are here today live at the Medical Spa Show 2024 at the beautiful Wynn. We're actually here in the exhibit hall, and I'm here with an incredibly special guest, someone that I've known since, I think, about 2018, and someone that I actually really look up to, and it's been really cool to see his growth and his company's growth and just this entire organization. But we have Alex Tiersch, the founder and CEO of AmSpa. Alex, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, what's up? What's up? It's great to be here. I appreciate what you said. Kudos to everything you guys have going for you too. This has been an amazing event. I appreciate you guys being here. This is awesome. Like, I'm having so much fun. I'm a little bit on the struggle bus this morning, if we're going to be honest. We had a late night last night, but I'm all right.
It was a great party.
It was amazing.
And it seems like those parties get better every year.
I mean, we have to keep topping ourselves somehow. I'm not next year. I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to have to. I'm not sure. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. But it was a lot of fun. I mean, and just, you know what I love about this industry, and you, and I know you, having grown and been in it too, is, and at that party, which was, you know, at XS Nightclub, it's just the energy. Everyone is so pumped up and excited to be there. And it's got nothing to do necessarily even with us. It's just everybody being together. And supporting one another. So that's really cool.
I love that. I know, I feel like people are here to learn and to grow and have fun, to network. I've actually told multiple people that this has become, you know, ever since probably like 3 years ago, this has become my absolute can't miss show, my favorite show of the year.
That's
and,
awesome. It's good to hear.
Try to tell, you know, everyone to go. And now people are starting to get that acronym of the MSS, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So I love the branding there. I love just everything you guys are doing. It's crazy too to see even just the growth and the expansion of the exhibit hall. I think it's grown a lot this year, right?
Yeah, even this year it's about 40% bigger than last year.
Wow.
The booths are getting bigger too. So, you know, it's an interesting problem that we're having, which is that people love being here. They love coming. They want bigger space. They want more time.
Yes.
And at the same time, there's other companies we want to get in. So we'll see what happens, but at some point we're gonna have to expand again, because we want to give everybody as much transparency and honesty as they can, so they come in there and all the brands are here. We want everyone to be here.
Yeah,
I honestly came in here, just this is the first time I've been in the exhibit hall this year, and I'm like, where the hell am I? I don't even recognize it.
Like, this is my meeting. This is my conference hall.
I know it is. Last night, I'm telling you, I was out at the party. I look up and you know, I had the big digital board and it said MSS 24, and I was like, huh, is that ours? It seems like it's somebody else's. You know what I mean? It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I love the culture you built with your team. You know, I think of Natalie and Miyumi and everybody across the board.
They're awesome.
Just the culture that you've built. I love, well, first off, let's go ahead and talk about that. What is it about that culture within your organization that you're really trying to tap into, and what are you looking for when you're expanding the team? I mean, you guys are growing fast.
Well, I wish I could take credit for all of those hires, but I did hire Kathy Christensen, who hired most of those people.
And so, she's amazing too. I should have said Kathy. She's incredible.
Although I did also bring Natalie on way back when, because Natalie has been with us since the beginning. But for me, it's always, you know, I instill this in my team. It's like, we want good, talented people with a good attitude, right? You can't teach that niceness, right? Someone's got to, they got to be nice. They have to care, be genuine. You guys, you know, at NextTech, everyone in this exhibit hall, you guys are as much a part of what we do as the attendees and the members. We'll go out and try to hire for, like, we'll have positions that are open. We have positions that are open right now. But oftentimes, I'm not sure how you do this, but like, we'll find somebody who doesn't necessarily fit a position that we have, but they're just, we can tell they're rock stars. And if you find a rock star, you take it. It's like a first round draft pick. You can figure out where to put them.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if it's in right field or if we're putting you at second base, but we're gonna find a spot for you.
That's the approach I've taken. Like someone like Miomi, who again, wasn't directly involved in hiring them, but I know that is the approach we take. It's like, this is someone who comes in. Oftentimes they'll come in and they'll be applying or looking for another job. And we're like, you know what? That's not exactly, we think, the best fit, but this would be awesome and we'd love to have you. Or one thing that we also do a lot of is allow people to grow. Like, I want folks to know when they start at AmSpa, they're not going to be stuck in their position. If they want to do something else, if they want to become a speaker, if they want to do sales, if they want to do marketing, whatever it might be, whatever your talents are, I want you to grow into that position.
Yeah. Something that I thought was really cool that Miomi, right?
Yeah.
That Miomi has shared with me was the fact that you guys actually encourage entrepreneurship. And mm-hmm. she was telling me about her candle business. And I actually ordered some candles for my Airbnb, for my Airbnb guests. And they're incredible. Everybody loves them. That is so cool. I haven't heard of that before.
That's what she does creatively. I love it that if people have the entrepreneurial spirit. Because to me, I mean, we're trying to build something. When you're trying to build something, I can't do it by myself, right? So as much vision as I can have, you have to have those other people who are thinking in that same way. And the truth is, people have different personalities and strengths. Some folks are going to be the creatives. They want to create. They want to build. They want to have ideas. Other folks are going to be problem solvers. But when you find those people who are creative, they are entrepreneurial, they do want to build and create, like, they are valuable. And so someone like her, like, I said, hey, look, I'm always telling like, oh, shit, you're going to end up selling your candle and you're going to leave AmSpa because you're going to be a candle empire. But you know what? If that's what makes her happy and she wants to do that, then more power to her. But I think either way, it's going to be empowering for us to have somebody with that type of attitude.
Yeah, yeah. And even the way you guys incorporated that at WOC, the Women in Aesthetic Leadership Conference, was amazing. Again, under Kathy's leadership there and
that was awesome.
What she's done. But I want to rewind a little bit and just ask you a little bit about your background and then also how you started AmSpa, why you started AmSpa.
Well, I like to call myself a recovering lawyer, as I say that all the time. My background is in law. I've been a lawyer for almost 25 years.
Okay.
I never in a million years thought that I would be sitting here right now in this exhibit hall with our, I mean, honest to God, I thought I was going to be a lawyer my whole life. I'd be working at a firm, maybe become a partner, whatever that might be. I also knew I wanted to work for myself. It's not that I'm not really necessarily an entrepreneur. I have a lot of ideas, but I don't like people telling me what to do. And so I like to be able to do what I want to do. And so I started my own firm and it was really just fortuitous. One of the first clients I had was a woman who, and this was 2008, 2009 or so, who was just killing it in this thing that she called a med spa. I had never heard of it. I knew what Botox was. I knew that. And she was killing it. And I was like, well, what is going on? Like, what is this business, right? And I started learning about it. And the one thing that struck me was, number one, the passion and the care that these people had, the money and the success they were making, which, you know, is attractive, the way that it was being grown. And the big thing for me as a lawyer was they didn't know what the hell they were doing when it comes to like the law. They really didn't.
You're like, I can help you.
I can help you. And so my original intent was not to build AmSpa, it was to market my law firm. And we started by providing resources and summarizing the different laws in the different states and providing additional information to help these folks be able to grow compliantly and safely. And I woke up one morning and we had members all over the place and I'm like, huh, this might actually be something. And that was the best decision I ever made because now I don't have to practice law, which is great.
So now it's been 11 years?
12.
12 years.
12 years. Yep.
Wow. And it seems like it's always growing. You have the memberships. What are some of the things when somebody joins AmSpa and they become a member, what are some of the things that they get?
Yeah, we're constantly trying to evolve and sharpen what our benefits are because that's the most important thing. Our goal is to help the industry, not just our individual med spa members and providers, but you guys as well, the industry. Like, we want to help the industry. So our main thing is providing basic guidance on compliance and safety. That's kind of the one thing that we have done that was our value proposition. Nobody else was doing that. It's kind of dumb luck that I was a lawyer. I came in at the exact time and there was confusion about what people could do and we clarified some of that. That's the main thing. So if you need information on what you can do in your particular state what provider can do what treatments, what type of supervision do you need, all those types of things. We have all of that information at your fingertips, as well as all the protocols, all those things that you need, those legal tools, the compliance documents that you need, the consents, all those things are things that we provide. And then we have since, you know, expanded into doing business training. That was actually the other thing that really kind of juiced AmSpa, was when we started doing our boot camps, our med spa boot camps, which nobody was doing. And I didn't know how to run a med spa, but I knew that people who did. And we just organized, hey, teach doctors how to run a business.
Quarterbacked it.
Basically, and they did it. And it was, so that's the other thing that we do, is business and legal training. And we, of course, we are getting into some clinical and things like that.
Yeah. And obviously this growth is only continuing to grow. And you guys have the medical spa state of the industry report coming out, right?
Yeah.
Where we'll see a lot of those stats and the growth.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you can share with us, a little piece of info about what you're seeing? Tease our listeners a little bit with some of that data that's coming out.
Yeah, we just got the results. Honestly, I've got all the data, which is really exciting. We're still looking at it and tweaking it and making sure that it's all presented. So, I mean, the main thing is the industry is still growing, and it's growing like crazy. So 25, 30% year over year. I think we're now at 11,500-ish med spas nationwide, and we're, wow, you know, we're adding several hundred a year. So that's the good thing. So whenever people say, hey, I want to come in the business, like, this is the time. Like, the expansion is happening. The thing that was a little surprising was 2023 was, we've been used to, especially post-COVID, just this massive influx of cash and growth. 23 was great for a lot of people. For other people, it was a little bit plateaued. And so we've seen, because there's a 27% increase in the number of med spas, the per location revenue has flattened out a little bit because it's starting to spread out. And I think what's happening is that's a natural growth of the business. The good news is that what we're seeing is the number of treatments and providers needed to continue to service this market is overwhelming. And we don't have enough people to service the need. So that's one thing we're going to have to work on, is how do we get more trained providers in?
And now a word from our sponsor. Life is full of decisions, some small, some significant. But in business, every choice matters when you're building a profitable practice. That's where Clarity Technologies comes in. The Clarity Practice Performance System is more than a software. It's a methodology that empowers you to gather actionable insights from data, train your team effectively, connect with patients through video, and join a supportive professional community. Visit clarityperformance.com to learn more. And now back to the episode.
And we're talking, I mean, 20 to 30% growth year over year. That's, mm-hmm, you know, 2,000 plus med spas coming online, right?
Yes.
Which serves into boot camp.
Yes.
And that's why that boot camp is imperative. And I'd love for you to talk to us a little bit more about the Injector Academy training and what happens there. And I believe those are now paired with boot camp.
Yeah. So we actually acquired the Academy for Injection Anatomy, which is a clinical, it's not a clinical training, it's more of an anatomy training course. Dr. Chris Surik, who's a plastic surgeon and anatomist.
He's incredible.
He like was born to teach anatomy. It's of the face. Like, that's what he does. And he has this incredible course where he spends a day teaching you all about the anatomy, all about complication management, and then you do a cadaver dissection. And instead of, oftentimes what the way it was back in the day was, everybody would gather around and the instructor would dissect and then they would point stuff out. What he did was flip that on its head and said, okay, I'm gonna give everybody in the course a chance to dissect their own cadaver, inject it, which is the only way you can really practice, right?
Yeah.
See where the vessels are. At the same time, he's teaching the anatomy. And I'm obviously not a provider, but I'll watch it, and it's fascinating because this is what we need as an industry. We need safe injectors. And in order to be safe, you have to know what the anatomy is. And he just knocks it out of the park. It's the coolest thing.
So do you see all levels, or people that are just starting off injecting, as well as people that have been doing it for 5 to 10 years joining us?
It's honestly not a beginner course.
Okay.
So we have seen people who have come in and they're just beginners, and they tend to be a bit overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Because it helps to have a little bit of an understanding of how to do it.
Okay.
So we are getting into that, and we have the ability to do beginner courses. But if you want to know that you have a competent, safe injector, right? Not teaching techniques necessarily, how to, you know, it's this person knows where the vessels are, how to avoid complications. That's what this is meant to be.
Okay. That makes sense. That's great. And that's what the industry needs. We need that for compliance, for safety, because it's always about what's best for the patient.
Absolutely.
And of course the practice.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let's talk about like the future. We've talked about the last 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
What about the next 12 years? Where do you see this industry going? What are you most excited about?
Where would the industry be in 10 years? I mean, I have no idea because it's growing so fast. I think what I do know is that the treatments and the desire to look and feel better, more confident is not going to go away, right?
Yeah.
So we don't necessarily know what the treatments will look like in 10 to 15 years, but we know there is going to, there are going to be treatments, right? And people are going to want them. When you look at the younger population, so under 30 or under 35, we have seen continually that population is growing more and more, and our data reflects this. They're the ones who are slowly creeping up and being the primary consumers of aesthetic medicine. So it's not just, you know, 40 to 50 year old women, it's 25 year old men, as well as younger women who are taking this very, very seriously at the beginning. So what I think about it is I don't see any end to the growth. It's just, I feel like the industry is probably going to look a little different. There's 100,000 people employed right now by the med spots, a $20 billion industry in the United States. I think there's probably going to be a need for 10, 20,000 new injectors and providers in the next 5 years or less that are going to be coming into the industry. So there's going to be a need for training. There's going to be a need for some safety standards so we can start kind of making sure that we're all growing in a safe, responsible way. The technology, I mean, with what you guys are doing and just with all the energy devices, like this is going to change the game too. And who knows when you start talking about weight loss and hormone replacement and all these new treatments that are coming, we're seeing definitely a blending of the wellness side and aesthetics where people are now embracing everything from, you know, your physical fitness, mental health, coupled with the aesthetic treatments, because it's not just how you look, it's how you feel, right? And it's all connected. So that's a long-winded answer to be like, I should say, I have absolutely no idea.
That was amazing. And honestly, I don't know if anybody could have articulated that just like you with your unique insights. So
I've got a different perspective on it for sure. I mean, our goal, like we believe very strongly we can have a membership that is 10,000 strong. And I think we need to get to that size because what we need to be able to do is have a voice in the changing legislative environment, because what we're seeing is laws are being written, they're being changed. We as an industry haven't been as coalesced around one position. If you look at like dermatologists, they're very, very organized. We need to be organized because these laws are being introduced, they're being passed, and we need to have a seat at the table.
Yeah. And speaking of that challenge, what are some other challenges you're seeing this year, 2024, that med spa owners are seeing in their practice or just things that you're hearing? I mean, you're in a lot of discussions, you're on a lot of these talks. What are you hearing?
There's really two. The one is more practical and the one is a little bit more, not theoretical, but it's not as easy to put your finger on, which is the regulatory legislative environment. I know people don't understand the amount of work that is being done right now behind the scenes in basically every state to develop rules and regulations for the medical aesthetics industry. And most of the time, the people that are making those rules don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So that makes me nervous because it's happening. It's happening all over the place and it's not visible. It's happening kind of under the surface, which is why we need to get organized because we need to be able to have a seat at that table. Because that is happening right now. We'll see every week another bill is introduced that sometimes adversely impacts the whole industry. So that's the one thing that's happening.
And these bills could be introduced by people that maybe don't even know what a laser treatment is, or maybe they've never even been to a practice. Maybe their husband or wife has, but maybe not them.
I guarantee that their husband and wife hasn't even been. They don't.
That's crazy.
It's a reactive process, right?
Yeah.
So oftentimes it's driven by the news cycle, public relations. So if there's a bad outcome, and unfortunately there is, we are now seeing a very, very concerted effort on the part of national and local media to start looking into med spas and ask questions. And the questions they're asking aren't necessarily fair because they're saying, you know, why are med spas unregulated? Why are they so dangerous? Like, and that's just not the case, right? Yeah. It's not. 99% of the industry is safe as can be. But a good news story isn't about a successful Botox treatment, right? Yeah. It's about a botched treatment. And that's when you get into it. And so the media is driving the bills. And so, like, for instance, in Michigan, this is a rumor. I don't actually know this to be true, but there was a bill that was introduced that would severely curtail RN's ability to be a part of the industry, just to inject, even regardless of supervision. Oh my but gosh. It happened because, at least the word on the street is, a state senator's wife had a drooped eyelid. You know, it had a bad outcome from Botox. And within like a week, they had legislation percolating through the system that was way overreactive, right?
Yeah.
And so that's what happens. It's silly stuff like that where you have just one outcome that you don't anticipate and you'll have a massive overreaction. And again, it's going to even itself out. But the only way that we can have an impact is if we know when that's happening and they know that we have a voice and a seat at the table so we can provide our input and educate them as to what the actual, what we do. Because they don't know. These regulators don't know what med spas do. They think we're like back alley nail salons doing Botox and after hours.
Crazy. I mean, I think it's worth being a part of AmSpa just for that alone, just to have a voice that's eyes and ears all day. I mean, because they're busy during the day. They get tired, right? The industry, everyone's working, everyone's hustling.
Yeah.
And to have your organization actually keeping an eye out.
That's our focus now. That's got to be the next iteration. We've spent 10 years trying to corral the industry and let everyone know that it is an industry. It's its own separate industry. But now we've got to look for the future. And it's a bit terrifying sometimes when I think of the people that are making decisions about the future of this industry and what their background is, because they don't know shit. Pardon me.
No, hey, truth's the truth. All right. So, you know, before we go and ask you a few more questions, first off, tell us a little bit more about things that you enjoy any given day. I know you're a huge Michael Jordan fan, right?
Yes.
But what do you like to do for fun?
Oh, yeah. I do spend a lot of time watching Michael Jordan videos on YouTube. Although I have.
I'm a Kobe Bryant guy. So.
Well, I like Kobe Bryant too. A trigger for me is when people start telling me LeBron James is better than Jordan. Oh, I just can't. I can't do it. So my wife and I we rescue dogs and cats.
Okay.
And we rescue typically older dogs that have health problems. So we're kind of like a pet hospice in a way. So we've got these old dogs and we take care of them. And we don't have kids. So we pour all of our resources into rescuing these things. And then, you know, yeah, in the last years of their life, we just kind of make sure they're comfortable. It's rewarding and tough at the same time.
Wow, that's amazing. I love that. How long have you been doing that?
Well, and I have to give most of the credit to my wife on that, because she is the nicest, most caring. She'll rescue anything.
Aww.
People, you know, whatever. It's been probably, really, since we've gotten into it, maybe about 8 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I love animals too. We just got our first dog. And actually, I have a 4-year-old and 2-year-old. And while I've been here, we got a goldfish. So,
oh, you know. All right. Yeah. Goldfish need homes too.
Exactly. Next thing, tell us a little bit more about your podcast, Medical Spa Insider. How long have you been doing that? I mean, I know I've been listening to it for quite a while, but tell us more.
God, you know, we've been doing it for years. I don't even know how
before long. Podcasts were cool.
I'm not sure. I don't even know when. I don't like our podcast is probably not that cool, to be honest. But it's what we wanted to do. And this was, I mean, it's been 6-7 years. I mean, I wish I could do it more, to be honest. Like, I enjoy these types of conversations. What we want to do is we want to talk to entrepreneurs, business owners in the med spa industry, but it doesn't have to be med spa owners. I mean, it's providers, it's industry, and just what makes the industry tick. What are the people like, right? One of the data points that we have is 70% of entrepreneurs in this business are women. And I don't know that there's another industry in the world that has that percentage of female owners. And it's not just the med spa owners. When you look at like the heads of the big injectable companies, it's a female-dominated industry. And it's really exciting to be able to talk to women about their journeys, because there's no industry like it when you have the ability to build your own brand. And a lot of these, not just women, but men too, are getting out of other areas of medicine because they're exhausted. They don't want to deal with managed care. And so the podcast is a way for us to tap into those people. I know there are tens of thousands of folks out there who are thinking about joining the industry, who want to join the industry, and this is a way to give them something to listen to give them some idea of what to do.
That's amazing. Well,
it's awesome.
Alex, I want to tell you thank you so much. You've been phenomenal. Would love to have you back on
anytime, in the future. Man. I love it. Anytime.
But appreciate all that you do. And again, I've always looked up to you, and it's been really cool to see your growth as an entrepreneur and leading AmSpa. So thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Yeah, we'll have to have you on our podcast too. I think we get like maybe 2,000 listeners though, so that's not like, it's all right. But yeah, I appreciate you having me. This is great. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Aesthetically Speaking, the podcast where beauty meets business, presented by Nextech. Follow and subscribe on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you like to listen to podcasts. Links to the resources mentioned on this podcast are available in your show notes. For more information about Nextech, visit nextech.com. Or to learn more about TouchMD, go to touchmd.com. Aesthetically Speaking is a production of The Axis, THEAXIS.IO.
Thanks for joining us this week with the American Med Spa Podcast, Medical Spa Insider. This week, we had a special collaboration with the Aesthetically Speaking Podcast presented by Nextech. If you're new with us, click on the subscribe button, then receive new content when it happens. Please also leave a rating and review, and we'll see you on the next episode.